the world's most powerful particle accelerator. The Large Hadron Collider will reopen today after 3 years of being shut down for improvements. Scientists around the globe are hoping that the upgraded machine, which is massive, will be able to detect new particles and start a physics revolution that could forever change our understanding of the whole universe.
Welcome back to Conspiracy Theories and Unpopular Culture. I am your host, Isaac Weishaupt. And today we are going to do a bonus episode, bonus shows for the supporters, the ride or dies. This is going to be for the month of July. And boy, is it a doozy. It's a real doozy. We're going to talk about CERN and the apocalypse. The end of the world. It's going to be on July 5th. So I hope you have a great 4th. Be sure to watch those fireworks because it's all coming to an end, apparently. No, I don't know if that's the case. We're going to talk about CERN. They're firing up a whole project. And we're going to get into it. And then I'm going to go into some of the esoteric occult ideas of what this could mean. I certainly don't know. The more I research the occult, the more I am on board with it, though. That seems to be the end game for these psychopaths, going all the way back to John Dee. So, without further ado, let's get into it. Oh, and first off, thank you for being a supporter. I've got 3 support feeds. I got a Rockfin account. I've got patreon.com/IlluminatiWatcher. Then I also have IlluminatiWatcher.com VIP section, which is very similar to Patreon. There's 3 options for you. If you go to IlluminatiWatcher.com, go to the VIP tab, you can compare all 3, see which one fits for you. In recent economic times, I know things are hard. You could sign up for an annual membership and get a discount, but that's only available in the VIP section, all right? On IlluminatiWatcher.com. VIP tab. Check it out. So, thank you for support. And, you know, it means a lot to me. It really does. This is what keeps the show going. It keeps me fired up. It keeps me making the premium grade A content. And I appreciate all of you for being ride or die. OG Granola Wokesters in the house. All right, let's go. July 4th, 2022 is the 10th anniversary of the CERN discovery of the Higgs-Hosson God particle. Now, a lot of this stuff gets into physics. Not a strong suit of mine. I took 2 semesters of physics for engineers in college. We dabbled very briefly in the quantum physics and Einstein's theories of relativity. But it's all very confusing stuff. All right. When I say these nerds are going to kill us, that encapsulates all you need to know. These nerds are going to kill us. I mean, you just got to let it happen, I guess. I'm not really sure. What's the right answer here, you know? On June 16th, 2016, CERN did similar projects. All right. And they've been shut down for a few years. They were upgrading the material to make their proton atom smashing Large Hadron Collider device work better, work faster for the last few years. And in April of 2022, they reopened, but July 5th, they're starting their Run 3. It's their new series of projects to do whatever it is nerds do. All right. But when I was researching this, I had to go back. And there were some very bizarre things that are very concerning to me. And I don't know if it's going to connect into this whole thing of what's happening on July 5th. But if you go back to June 16th, 2016, CERN was working on some projects. I think that was the second run, I would guess. And there were three people taking a walk near CERN. And they took some photos up in the sky of some really bizarre cloud formations and lightning and really weird stuff. You got to see the photos to believe it. But the theory back then even was that CERN was opening up portals with all their weird energy work. Now, if you go to Google and type in Christoph Suarez, spelled like Christopher without the R, Christoph Suarez CERN, and go do an image search, you're going to see, and I'll put this on my Instagram so you don't have to do the hard work here, you'll see that Google Images is so confused. They're like, I don't know, nothing, I guess. There's not much going on with that. Nothing to see here, folks. So you go over to DuckDuckGo, do the same exact terms, Christoph Suarez CERN, and every single photo you could ever want shows up. Proving that it almost seems like that's the litmus test for reality. If Google gives you the search results, that's what they want you to think. And they want you to know, the official social construct, the Illuminati, the architects of reality, whatever you want to call this control system, trying to shape reality into what they want you to believe it is, they will serve it up to you on Google. And not to say I called it, but I called it back in 2014 when I wrote a whole book about how awful Google was. And then DuckDuckGo, of course, has it. So I found an article on mysteriousuniverse.org back when this happened. And they tell you on this thing, they're referencing a video apparently put together by these people who took the photos. It says the photos were reportedly taken on June 24th, 2016 by three photographers on a walk together. Joel Rodriguez, Dean Gill, and Christoph Suarez. Weather reports for that day show 0.67 inches of rain, but no unusual weather was noted. The quality of the photographs is exceptional, and the narrator of the video addresses this by assuring that the images have been examined and are genuine and unedited. It doesn't say how that was done, but the photographers have other fine photos on their pages. They also didn't report seeing anything unusual other than a really cool storm. The video says that the photos were taken on the same day as the, hang on, I gotta change the font here so I can read it, AWAKE experiment was supposed to begin. That conspiracy-generating name actually stands for Advanced Wakefield Experiment, and according to CERN, is the world's first proton-driven plasma Wakefield acceleration experiment. Besides demonstrating how protons can be used to generate Wakefields, AWAKE will also develop the necessary technologies for the long-term proton-driven plasma acceleration projects. While CERN announced the first proton beam commissioning on June 16th, nothing seemed to occur on June 24th. Now, it has a link to the video, and I thought, well, let me watch the video for myself. And wouldn't you know, the video is unavailable. And wouldn't you know, Google owns YouTube. YouTube's the second largest search engine, folks. So when you see something removed from Google and YouTube, there's a reason for it. Now, like I said, so my concern is that they in fact did open a portal in 2016, and they're going to keep doing this, as is evident by all the weird Mandela effect stuff. And again, this is all very, not unprovable, but hard to prove kind of stuff. So this is all theory. I just know from living and experiencing the world since I was brought into it in 1979, things got really freaking weird in the last 5 years-ish. Let's talk about the Large Hadron Collider. It's a massive 17-mile underground ring that smashes atoms at near the speed of light. And what they were doing originally was to reenact the Big Bang with the idea that there was a unified field of energy that created all things. Matter cannot be created nor destroyed. So the Big Bang infused all this energy from this, I don't know, dense ball. I don't know. See, this is a very difficult subject for me. And released it and it created all things. Well, they started out by building the LHC for that purpose. And then in 2012, they proved the God particle, which is part of this whole Big Bang thing, I believe, on some levels. the Higgs boson particle. And since then, they've been learning how reality and the cosmos and the universe exist. And they say, well, okay, our next mission is to understand dark matter and dark energy, because they think that dark energy is actually the glue that binds the galaxy and the universe together. That's like 95% of the universe. They can't detect it or prove its existence, but they know it's there. Don't ask me how. Probably through math. Well, on this video I was watching that was talking about CERN and the LHC, it talks about astrophysicist Zhen Liu, who told Daily Galaxy that the Higgs boson is actually a portal between the luminous world and the dark world.
All around us is dark matter and dark energy. It's the invisible stuff that binds the galaxy together and makes up more than 95% of the universe. But no one has been able to directly detect it. Scientists only know it exists from the effects that it has. Astrophysicist Zhen Liu at the University of Minnesota told the Daily Galaxy in an email that the Higgs boson, a critical component of the Standard Model, could play the role of the portal between the luminous world and the dark world. Theorists believe that there is one type of dark particle that only interacts with the normal matter on rare occasions. Researchers believe that this particle can get caught up in the proton collisions that the LHC is continually making and monitoring. Liu is of the view that we might be able to directly detect the decay or the transitions between distinct states of particles that exist in the dark realm. Only if we use quantum mechanical coupling, though.
We're talking about the world of light and the world of dark. And if you follow a lot of these occult teachings of Gnosticism and Freemasonry and Kabbalism, they very much look at the world in that way. The Freemasons have the Masonic pavement, the black and white checkered squares. The Kabbalah Tree of Life has the dark side, the Klepoth. And all these occultists try to make contact with these forces on the dark side of the Tree of Life, the Klepoth forces. The realm of the damaged gods, as Kenneth Grant would call it. So there's this interest in making contact with the dark side and finding the dark matter from an occult perspective and from a scientific perspective. And as we've talked about for many years, those two worlds blend and blur together, because the first scientists were the alchemists. And then over time, we're led to believe that, oh, science became this rational proving of the existence of the real world. But I think there's a faction of scientists who still subscribe to the searching of the Philosopher's Stone. And with that, they believe that we are trapped in a simulation prison world, and they want to release us from the prison, and there's got to be a way to make it back to the top Sephiroth on the Kabbalistic Tree of Life. How can they get back to Kether? How can they achieve God status to the Godhead? Through science, through alchemy. And before the end of the show, you're also going to wonder what the hell is going on, because that's where I'm at. I wish I could have the answers for you, because I don't. And in that same video, the scientists at CERN want to send a particle into the fifth dimension to find out more about the dark matter. This particle is called a fermion. And the visible matter that we know about in our world is somehow connected to this dark matter through these fermions in the fifth dimension.
Recently, a group of scientists announced that they believe they can explain dark matter using a particle that, according to them, can travel to the fifth dimension. Scientists, in a research published in the European Physical Journal C, claim that the particle can shed light on dark matter. According to the latest research, 5D equations have been created that indicate the ramifications of an extra dimension in our universe and reality as we know it. The researchers looked at fermion masses, which they believe can be transferred into the fifth dimension via portals, resulting in dark matter relics and the fermionic dark matter in the fifth novel dimension.
All right. Pretty confusing stuff. I don't profess to understand it myself, but that's the idea. There's other dimensions, and that's what they proved when they made all these little small black holes everywhere. They proved there was other dimensions and all this crazy stuff. String theory, Stranger Things, I believe, got into this in the first season, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong on that. But they did all this through the Large Hadron Collider, the LHC. And like I said, they shut it down for a few years, and they've been making some upgrades, and now they're going to make these particles faster. And I believe one of the plans is to increase the speed so that they can shoot these fermions into the fifth dimension or whatever. They're basically trying to learn more about dark matter. And as, let me find his name, Zhen Liu told the news, the Higgs boson, which they already found, is the portal between the world of light and the world of dark. Now, what's concerning here is that Stephen Hawking, he wrote a book called Starmus. And in the, I know, that's so rude. He said that Biggs Hoson has the potential to destroy our world. And that's exactly what CERN's messing around with, right? Which is kind of scary. And he said there's this high energy, strange matter that is unstable when you start messing with this stuff. And it would cause this vacuum decay to make time and space collapse. And this would all happen if the Higgs boson becomes unstable, if they put too much energy into it. How does this fit into all this? I have no idea. I have no idea. But a lot of conspiracy truthers are losing their minds about this, and rightfully so. I'm a little bit nervous, too. I don't know what any of this means. I don't really know if they're going to unleash, collapse the space-time from another dimension. I just know that they've upgraded their system, and it's going to be the higher speeds than before, and they're trying to find this entrance, this portal to the dark matter, to the dark world. I actually tried to watch, there's a YouTube, Ireland Clark. She seemed very knowledgeable on this subject, and I tried to understand what the OG granola rainbow wokesters out there are talking about with this. And I'm very confused. She talks about how they want to block us from ascending into the 5D reality. And they're amping up the energy so that on July 5th, when they run the experiment, things are going to get really weird. That's what I could ascertain from the video I watched. But again, I don't get it. She's going on about telluric shields in the magnetosphere that lock us into three dimensions and all kinds of stuff. But there's an idea that time is an illusion and they don't want us on the proper timeline that can allow us to ascend to fifth dimensional beings. And she also was concerned about various bad things happening on July 5th when they fire this thing up. Now, what's going to happen? I don't know. Probably nothing. I'm not going to lose sleep over it. Could something happen though? Absolutely. Could space-time collapse? Maybe. I don't know what these people are doing. So for me, I think, what's the best way we could shed light on this? And I want to point you and reference you to other people who have written on these subjects. Ironically, I've been reading Nick Hinton's book called The Aquarian Singularity. My man Nick Hinton was on Duncan Trussell's podcast for the second time. My God. Hook your boy up with an interview, Nick. But Nick, he appeared on Duncan Trussell for the second time. And he's got a very smart book, and I'm going to interview him for our show, so get ready for that. I had to go through the book. I actually read through most of it, and I was like, dude, this is really good. And I had to go back through and restart so I could like take all the notes. Because my brain doesn't work so great all the time. I got to take notes. If you got books, always keep a pencil in your book, and put your notes in the margin so you can go back through. And then I take it to the next step. I go back through and I type up all those notes like a real psychopath. But I do that for you, all right? So that we can have a good conversation about these things. And I'm going to point to Nick Hinton's book, the 15th chapter. He talks about various theories and it blends into the world of Gnosticism. And if you're familiar with David Icke's work, you're familiar with the idea of the Archons, the lizard shape-shifting people, right? The reptile people. And the idea is that they need fear. They use fear as sustenance so that they can pop into our dimension and take control of Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump and whoever, right? See how I kept it bipartisan for you there? Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump. They come in and they possess their bodies and they do the things they want to do and then boom, they back right out. And allegedly, the fear and the abuse of people is what allows them to do that. Now, I would argue you could take that further, and since we've learned about adrenochrome and that kind of thing, maybe that fits into the whole argument, the vampirism and such. So anyhow, Archons, Nick Hinton's book, he says Archons use like human beings as containers. I'm paraphrasing that. He calls them organic portals. They're avatars for them to interact with our world, which is very much like what David Icke says. Or they'll use soulless humans as NPCs, non-player characters. If you listen to my show on Free Guy, the Ryan Reynolds film, that was the idea, that NPCs. And you would have enough lizard people inserted into these NPCs that they could support the Matrix, right? If 90% of the humans out there were just really reptile people, and they were like, yeah, this is what we do. We go to work, and we listen to the man. Most of the last 10%, the rest of us, would be like, yo, is that what we're doing? And then most of us would be like, I guess so. It's what everyone else is doing. It's how they keep you locked in to three dimensions. You can't ascend to that granola fifth dimension. Nick says that and it's interesting because Bob Lazar, I believe I talked about this in Use Your Illusion 1. Bob Lazar talked about how the Greys, he saw in the documentation that the aliens viewed man as containers for souls. So it kind of fits into that too. Nick talks about how the Gnostics believe in three types of humans. You've got psychics, which are souls bound by matter, normal folks, right? Pneumatics, which are souls who learn to free themselves through Gnosticism, through the Gnosis, through the knowledge. This is all your ascended masters of theosophy. This is all your enlightened occultists and such. And then finally, you've got the Helix. These are your soulless beings. And this idea of people walking around that are already dead, the walking dead, was actually a theme represented by many great philosophers over time. Leonardo da Vinci said there are three classes of people: those who see when they are shown, and those who do not see. And he goes through a couple examples like Gurdjieff. I screw his name up every time. Some other famous occultist said something similar. But the idea here is that maybe the lizard people or the gray aliens, it could be that they're actually humans. They're time traveling from the future. They've merged with artificial intelligence in the future. And now they want to come back and upload their consciousness into something more like their original bodies to experience this realm of Earth. Like, oh, remember that? That was good times. Let's go possess a body and, I don't know, whatever they want to do. Go on a roller coaster. Probably make sexy time. Because, you know, when the aliens show up, the Greys, they never have genitalia. So, all right, here we go. But he talks about how the Faustian bargain tales, you know, someone selling their soul to the devil, exists. And he goes through some examples. And even in MKUltra, you could look at this, like a person's mental faculties, their psyche, must be shattered in order to allow a demon to take possession sometimes. And it could be argued that that's why a lot of Christian ideas are that you shouldn't mess around with drugs or the paranormal, because maybe some bad malevolent spirits can attach themselves to you. And then he wraps up chapter 15 with a great quote by Carl Jung. It says, "A person must pay dearly for the divine gift of creative fire." Then the next relevant chapter I want to go through real quick, and then we're going to cut over to Tracy Twyman, who actually also makes appearance in that book. Chapter 17, he talks about rainbow bridges. This is a concept I was not familiar with at all. Rainbow bridges are considered a threshold between this world and another. And if you listen to the first part of the show, you're like, okay, this sounds really familiar. Well, he goes in and he says, look, CERN's trying to detect rainbow gravity, where different wavelengths of light experience different levels of gravity. And it's thought to be inside of black holes, which black holes are considered the entrances to possible wormholes. And that's where you get the Einstein-Rosen bridge of time travel, or traveling across the universe through a wormhole. You've probably seen, was it Event Horizon? I think they do it. There's a couple movies where they talk about how to travel faster than the speed of light, or how to travel through a wormhole to get to another dimension or whatever. And they say, oh, look, space-time is flat, right? And you punch a hole here and a punch a hole here, and you fold that paper. And then, boom, you just cut your distance down by a whole lot. Well, CERN, which also has a machine called Alice, right? And you think about the rabbit hole of Alice in Wonderland, ties into wormholes. Nick's saying that CERN might be trying to enter a whole new dimension, a whole new reality, by creating black holes, because they understand how all this stuff works. And the physicist said that space-time around a black hole actually behaves like a quantum computer. And there's an idea that starting in 2012, remember how we had the big scare of like the end of the world, end of the Mayan calendar, the poles flipping, all this crazy stuff happening. There's an idea that in 2012, they actually transferred our consciousness into a quantum computer as a simulated copy of our old world that they actually had destroyed. And I think back on 2012, because I was conspiracy theorizing, I was blogging about that, and I thought that might make sense. Maybe they knew the poles were going to flip, the world was going to end, and they had perfected the technology, and they're like, look, we can't tell the mouth breathers any of this. They're going to lose their minds. So let's find a way to create a matrix copy of the universe. And don't ask me how this works. I don't know. It sounds like some sci-fi nonsense. So that we can put everyone in a quantum computer matrix reality. Because in reality, the Earth is going to be toast. Like, everyone's dead, gone. So basically the philosophy of the brain in a vat is where we're currently existing. The idea that a brain could be in a vat of fluid and connected to wires, inputting signals to tell our brains that we're living in a world, and here's a real grandma coffee cup, and here's some water. It's just signals being pushed in there. And Nick even takes it a scary step further and talks about how maybe, just maybe, via the LHC particle accelerator, could be an altar to Kronos or Saturn. Sounds crazy, right? Well, listen to this. He says that Dennis McKenna, the brother of Terrence McKenna, the guy who wrote about psychedelics in Food of the Gods, ironically, which I'm also reading. Well, his brother said that hexagon on Saturn, if you've ever seen the photo, the images of the poles of Saturn, one has a storm that looks like an all-seeing eye. The other pole has a storm that looks exactly like a flattened cubed or a six-sided figure. It's the hexagon. Dennis McKenna believed that hexagon was a sign that there was a wormhole in the planet of Saturn. And it could be the other side of a wormhole that CERN created. So maybe CERN was able to find a black hole, which was a wormhole, that they could punch through and pop out on the other side within Saturn, within that other side of the wormhole. which you would think, okay, well, that doesn't make any sense, Isaac. Who cares? So what, we're all living in Saturn now? That doesn't make any sense. Well, listen to this. It says that occult researchers say that people who practice chaos magic are destroying Saturn's rings, and Saturn's rings have, in fact, been disappearing. But the idea is that CERN could be doing chaos magic because inadvertently, because their particle accelerators could be creating chaos in the universe when they start making these black holes and the antimatter. And he also talks about how the scientists say at the edge of a black hole, which is, again, the entrance to a wormhole, science behaves as if it's a quantum computer. So the idea that I believe that we're looking at here, the theory that Nick is helping to craft, would be something akin to the idea that CERN created a black hole, which is a wormhole that connects us to Saturn, and reality exists as quantum computers on both sides. And they more or less found a way to put our reality up into Saturn because our current world, the poles were going to flip and we're all dead, currently dead. And this goes into all kinds of real weird realms, like the idea that everyone's dead, or what do you call it, the dead internet theory. I mean, it's enough to make your brain hurt. Now, if you go back to Tracy Twyman's book, Clock Shavings, there's actually a lot of wild ideas that fall out from that book that we really need to talk about. You know, Tracy Twyman, sadly and tragically, of course, has passed on. But her research is top tier, right? You can listen to her show. She was on Freeman Flies the Free Zone. I believe she was on Higher Side Chats. She made the rounds. I was supposed to get her on my show, and man, this is my problem. I decide I want to interview a guest, and I get a little too anal retentive, and I decide I got to read the books and take notes and all. That's why it took me. I'm about a year in on Nick Hinton here because I had to read both of his books. Anyhow, so I kick myself. I regret that I was not able to interview Tracy while she was alive. But in her book, I'm going to point out a couple highlights, and then we're going to wrap this up. She has this curious talk about space-time and possibly some Mandela effect connections. She says, "It goes without saying that as our time-space dimension merges with those that are outside of time, our perception of time will stop. That is why modern Satanists refer to the concept of year zero. It is not really Anno Satanis, the year the Church of Satan was created in 1966. It is that future final hour that has yet to come." Pretty scary, right? A future world where time will stop. And this could fit into the Saturn idea. Saturn is the force that brought about time and measurements. So how do you evolve or transcend above Saturn? You go to a place where time doesn't exist. And it ties into the end times and the apocalypse, which is, to me, the scariest part about all this. And she talks about how reality dissolves and you got the order out of chaos. She says, "I think that the flood was not just a physical deluge of water, but also a dissolving of reality into chaos." And Nick was talking about how the particle accelerators might be performing chaos magic. Oh, dear. "Surviving this requires an alchemical arc of safety, like the black cube or the white cube. That is what much of the arcane literature written by initiates of the occult seem to indicate, as well as the more esoteric scriptures of Judaism and Christianity." And we can't, and I don't know if I mentioned it, we're looking at her book, Clock Shavings. We can't look at all this stuff and forget about the discussion of the Golden Age. That was actually a concept I wrote about in my very first book. And the idea was that Saturn played a role in ending the golden age of man. Some could argue this is the fall in the Bible. But the golden age, they think, could be achieved with a great sacrifice. And that's what Nick's book presents, is the idea that maybe it's the biggest sacrifice, all of humanity being sacrificed and put into the quantum computer. Let's see here. She says, there was an abundance of everything wanted with no work required. This is possible because, like the Garden of Eden, the Golden Age was outside of time. Therefore, there was no death, birth, or generation. As I speculated in my other book, Money Grows on the Tree of Knowledge, such a state can only be maintained by negating the future, as Saturn is said to have swallowed his own children. He did this to keep them from growing up to overthrow him, as had been prophesied. This was the child sacrifice that purchased the peace and prosperity of the Golden Age. So in a way, Tracy is supporting the theory of Nick's. Mass sacrifice leads to the prosperity of the Golden Age. So there's your motive for why they would want to do this. Because it unlocks the Golden Age for them. Or if you want to play like, oh, well, the Illuminati's not that bad, maybe they do think it'll be the Golden Age for everyone. Because, I mean, that's a decent theory, too. Maybe they care about us. I don't think so, but maybe. And the apocalypse and the end times is the alchemical wedding where the opposing polarities are brought together. This is the idea of the light and the dark, the luminous world connecting to the dark world, which is what that physicist earlier was saying. And in her book, she talks about the apocalypse. She says, this event will involve the opening up of one or more portals between the realms of heaven, earth, and hell. It can be seen as a union or chemical wedding of these realms, just as the coming of the New Jerusalem is likened to a marriage of heaven and earth. It is seen also as a collapsing of the pole, the world mountain that separates the realms. The instigation of this event will involve aid from humans who want it to happen. That's a big deal. Because when you read about John Dee, which I'm still hacking away at the book, that's where he started out. That's where he started out, trying to bring about the eschaton, the end times. And we talked about that on a few shows already, I think. There's an evangelical Christian movie that wants to bring the end times. And there's also the occult Crowley Parsons types that want to bring the end times. They all want the same end because they have their beliefs about what will happen and it's going to be better, is what they think. And she says right here, the instigation of the apocalypse will involve aid from humans who want it to happen. The occult sciences are probably part of the CERN astrophysicist science. They believe that they are the chosen few and that if they build an ark properly, they will be saved. It will also involve humans being persuaded into descending into the underworld to free the captive demons. But some of these people will be tricked into trading places with them and forced to bear their torment. This includes the burden of keeping the heavens aloft again when the new order of the realms is established. We can see this by decoding the creative works of occult initiates, as well as the myths and scriptures that they refer to. So, if you watch Raised by Wolves, you saw that theme of the elite. And I'm sorry, not Raised by Wolves. Don't Look Up. The Netflix movie with the second greatest actor of all time, Leo DiCaprio. That was on there. The elites, they all get into a craft and they're like, well, we're out. We're gonna find another planet to live on, deuces. And why do you think these nerds, these rich nerds, these wealthy nerds are talking about it? Elon Musk talk about, oh, let's go to Mars. Jeff Bezos, oh, we're going to another planet. Earth will be a vacation home for us. That's what he said. Robert Bigelow, oh, let's make hotels out in space. Those are all iterations of the Ark. Then, and this might be, well, we got a couple more things we could talk about. We'll talk about them. Francis Bacon. That's a name. In fact, shout out to Bob. Let's see here. Let me grab the name of the show. The Hidden Life is Best. The Hidden Life is Best is a podcast about Francis Bacon, and it's very interesting. Because Francis Bacon has a lot of occult connections, and he's a very mysterious and enigmatic character. But Tracy Twyman references him. Francis Bacon was smart enough to know that there might not literally be a mountain or a pole that is holding up the sky, but he could understand that there were other dimensions of reality that mankind has yet to explore. On the topic of smashing a portal between the worlds and possibly collapsing them together, let us have a look at some of the projects being done with the Atomic Particle Collider in Switzerland, known as CERN, which stands for words that translate to European Council for Nuclear Research. They are presently doing tests with something called a Large Hadron Collider. This is from several years ago, by the way, this book. They're presently doing tests with something called a Large Hadron Collider that, according to their spokespeople, could open a doorway to an extra dimension. Sergio Bertolucci, the director for research and scientific computing at CERN, told the technology newspaper The Register, as reported in an article from November 2009, that out of this door might come something, or we might send something through it. The article continues, Dr. Bertolucci later got in touch to confirm that yes, indeed, there would be an open door, but that even with the power of the LHC at his disposal, he would only be able to open it a very tiny lapse of time, 10 to 26 seconds. But during that infinitesimal amount of time, he would be able to peer into this open door, either by getting something out of it or sending something into it. These scientists seem quite confident that this small amount of time in which this tiny little door will open won't at all be enough to collapse the barrier between these dimensions and destroy this entire dimension instantly, or any other manner of disaster-based science fiction scenarios that could theoretically come from such tinkering with the fabric of existence. Okay, and to be fair, like, maybe that didn't happen. Tracy goes on, she says, but I'm not so sure. It should be obvious to all that the final hour of revelation can take place in the twinkling of an eye. How long does it take for space-time to end? It's a meaningless question, and afterwards, although there is no such thing as an afterwards, it won't really matter, will it? And in fact, I watched a video on CERN, and I watched several videos on YouTube about CERN and some of these theories. But they did in fact say that if space-time does collapse when they do this, I don't know, send this particle to the fifth dimension, that it'll be very abruptly and very instantaneously. So that's how long it takes for space-time to end, apparently. I mean, at least they're looking into it. At least they're considering it instead of just doing the crazy, dangerous experiments. Then there's something else. Let's talk about Alice in Wonderland, because Nick Hinton's book talks about Alice in Wonderland with the rabbit hole and a lot of these different ideas about how Alice going through the looking glass is similar to us going through the CERN portal. And it comes up in Clock Shavings in Tracy Twyman's book, because that's ultimately what this whole thing is about. That's what the book and the movie Alice in Wonderland is about. It's about shifts in perception and awakening to a new reality. One of the Collider's projects is actually named the Alice Collaboration, purportedly because it will allow the scientists to explore the root of matter the same way Alice explored Wonderland down the rabbit hole. The logo for the project is an octagonal portal with rays of energy bursting from the center. The acronym stands for a Large Ion Collider Experiment. The website describes it as one of the largest experiments in the world devoted to research in the physics of matter at an infinitely small scale. You are invited to tumble down the rabbit hole into the wonderland of Alice. And it's, and she goes on, she says, if you recall, Alice was only able to enter Wonderland by shrinking herself so that she was small enough to fit through the door at the bottom of the rabbit hole. She got into that state by eating and drinking certain things. Alice's Adventures in Wonderland appears to be one of the preeminent works of fiction published in the last two centuries that truly fits the ancient pattern of a portal to the underworld epic myth. In that story, the white rabbit who lured her down there complains that he is late for a very important date. This may be an allusion to that late hour, the final hour before year zero begins. Also very interesting, isn't it? The, and then you could also add into that conversation, because a lot of people say that Alice in Wonderland is talking about partaking of drugs like LSD and hallucinogens and psychedelics in order to see this new shift in perspective, this new dimension. And ironically, that's what a lot of the occultists do with the Dionysian rituals. It's about taking drugs and, you know, in order to make contact with the divine. And there's even people called psychonauts, and they take psilocybin to try to make contact with aliens from another dimension. Also strange. One more reference, and then we're going to wrap this up. Because Tracy Twyman, she's got similar concerns with all this stuff, right? She had suggested that there was possibly demonic deceptions luring man to snoop into this underworld, and that could be part of the CERN agenda. She says, I suspect that those who are imprisoned in the regions below are constantly working to inspire their chosen genius few among us, certain scientists, artists, writers, and philosophers, to penetrate God's secrets of creation. In particular, they want somebody to learn how to build one of these alchemical arcs and to open a gateway to where they are. They are hoping that someone will come and rescue them, but as I have said, ultimately, I think they will play humans. And you could go a lot of directions with just that statement. In fact, I was listening to the Stars Academy has a podcast where they talk about aliens, right? They had the prominent occult writer Peter Lavenda on there. And it's in, I believe it's part three. I'm taking notes on my phone here. Let me look it up for you. In part three, no, it must have been part two. Gosh, I don't remember. Maybe it's part one. I don't know. It doesn't matter. There's three parts to it. It was either in one or two. He talks about how they're going to need artists to make contact with the aliens. And if you've listened to any of my topics based upon this idea, this is something we've been talking about for many years. I talked about it, I believe, in Sacrifice Magic Behind the Mic, the hip-hop conspiracy book, with the idea that artists are able to tap into the creative realm, which is, some say, in the subconscious. There's a mental component there, is the short version. And when Tracy says there's certain scientists, artists, writers, and philosophers that they're going to need to get through these secrets of creation, that's literal. And they're using them. And there's some power to that. And that could be why celebrities go crazy and these musicians are doing all kinds of dark stuff. It could be all connected. Like, maybe they are using and channeling their energies into something like this, into making contact with some other realm. But what do you think? Are you scared? You scared, bro? Are you scared that Stephen Hawking, he seemed like a pretty smart guy, he was a little concerned about all this. He was worried that they were going to collapse space-time. But then you got all these nerds, they're like, nah, we're good. Fired up. I mean, I guess we'll find out on July 5th, right? So hopefully we'll be here next week to have another great show. But thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting the show. You take that extra step, and that is never taken lightly by me. I appreciate it. Until next time, stay woke.